Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. It said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' precious name. The subject this morning very sharply is understanding the fear of the Lord. Understanding the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord all about? Understanding the fear of the Lord. The truth is that there are many people who love God, but there are few people who fear God. You can make it to church because of the love of God, but you make it to heaven by the fear of God. You can be a successful church person because you love God, but you become a successful heaven-bound citizen because you fear God. Don't forget what I just said. Those who love God are many. Those who fear God are few. You can make it to church because you love God, but you make it to heaven because you fear God. And since our journey does not end on the earth, it is important that we have the fear of God so we make it beyond this life. In addition, there are many who have faith in God, but not many have the fear of God. Faith, I believe that God exists. I believe that God can do this or that. But not many have the fear of God. Faith in God and the fear of God will produce different results. Faith in God guarantees results on earth. You don't need faith in heaven. But the fear of God guarantees eternal results plus eternity in heaven. Faith in God guarantees results on earth. The fear of God guarantees eternal results plus eternity with God. I'm sure you know that your faith can give you results on earth and you still end in hell. That is, you exercise faith until you got a husband, you got a wife. You exercise faith and got fruit of the womb. You exercise faith and make demands on God until God gave you a good job and some blind people saw and deaf people heard, but you still ended in hell. That was why I said some people will say, did we not do mighty works in your name? And then he said, I will tell you, depart from me, you who walk iniquity. So faith in God is not enough. It will guarantee our results on the earth, but the fear of God guarantees our results for eternity. Results for eternity plus eternity with God in heaven. There are many who claim to be in the service of God, but they do not live in the fear of God. They are serving God, but they don't live in the fear of God. The service of God will guarantee blessedness on the earth, because you shall serve the Lord and he shall bless your bread and your water. But it is the love of God that guarantees blessedness in eternity. It guarantees blessedness in eternity, for all eternity. Bad news is that it is possible to be blessed on the earth and miss heaven. That was why he said, some people will say, we prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name, and he will tell them, I know you not. It's possible to be known in church and be unknown in heaven. So, what is the fear of God all about? Number one, it is existence with the sense of healthy reverence and respect for God. The sense of healthy reverence and respect for God. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Healthy reverence for God. Psalm 111, verse 9 to verse 10. The fear, all right, he sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. And then the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's connecting reverence and the fear of the Lord. There are many people who reverence and respect people more than they reverence and respect God. There are many who reverence and respect things more than they reverence and respect God. There are some who won't serve God as they should because somebody said, they are serving God too much. There are people who will cancel a church appointment in favor of a business appointment. There are those who will cancel a spiritual engagement in the favor of a social engagement. There are those who won't come to church because a football match is playing. There are those who won't come to a midweek service because their popular TV show is showing. Beloved brothers and sisters, God weighs and judges these things. We must come to the point where there is nothing under heaven you respect and reverence more than you respect and reverence God. I love my wife, but I respect God more than her. She knows. She loves me. But she respects God more than me. I know. And I'm aware of that. One day the wife was Smith Wigglesworth going to church. And the husband kept on interrupting before he gave his life to Christ. And Smith Wigglesworth's wife, Polly, he told the husband, he said, you are my husband, but Jesus is my Lord. I will respect you, but I will obey my Lord. I will obey my Lord. Beloved brothers and sisters, is there anybody, anything you respect and reverence more than God? That thing or that person has taken the place of God in your life. The fear of the Lord is existence with a healthy sense of reverence. Number two, the fear of the Lord, what does it mean? It is existence with abhorrence for unrighteousness and an attraction for righteousness. Abhorrence. You abhor unrighteousness and you are attracted to righteousness. It is existence with an allergy to evil. You are allergic to evil and addicted to good. Allergic to evil, addicted to good. Simply put, You hate what God hates, and you love what God loves. Let me want what you want, oh my dear Lord. Let me love what you love, oh dear Lord. That is how you designed life to be loved. Help me, Lord, to live how I ought to live. Oh Lord, take me to the place where I have no will that is separate from your will. Oh Lord, take me to that place where I have no choice that is separate from your choice. To be lost in you is my desire. To be all for you is all I want. Oh Lord, take me to the place where I have no will that is separate from your will. Oh Lord, take me to that place where I have no choice that is separate from your choice. To be lost in you is my desire. To be all for you is all I want.
You are in the realm where you hate what God hates. You love what God loves. You don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 1 verse 1 to verse 3. You don't stand in the way of sinners. You don't sit in the seat of the scornful. It is not possible to fear God and be comfortable with the company of evil. Did you hear what I just said? It's not possible to fear God and be... You see, the guy hanging around you is a killer. You know him. You are comfortable. The person living with you is living on men to survive. Living prostitutionally, and you are okay. That guy is a 419. He's a gambler. You know him. And you are comfortable with him. No, it's not possible. You are allergic to unrighteousness, addicted to righteousness. It's not possible. You can't. It's not possible. It is very difficult for me to shake hands with a man who carries a cigarette in his hand. And then you bring handshake. How? You won't even come close without smoke. Or with alcohol in your front, and then you carry your hand and say, greet. How? If it happened, it happened by mistake. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? And there are those who are fully at home in the company of the ungodly. Wicked people are their companions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You may not stop evil, but you hate it. You are giving bribe where you are. You may not be able to stop it, but you hate it from your heart. Somebody say a loud amen. Say a louder amen. It is existence with abhorrence for unrighteousness and an attraction to righteousness.
I mentioned two in the first service. I won't go there because of time. For the sake of this service, first, the fear of God is one. It is existence under the command and dictates of the Lord. This is number one for this service and number three overall. It is existence under the command and the dictates of the Lord. Fear God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes 12:13. It is living in submission to the demands and dictates of your maker. Living in submission to the demands and dictates of your maker. What he demands and what he dictates is what directs your life. The fear of the Lord means that the word of your God is law for your life. His word is law. His word is law. The fear of God means that there is no negotiation with his instruction. You don't negotiate with him. His instruction is your command. The fear of the Lord means that Jehovah has the final say. He has the final say in your life. Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. There are those whose lives are lived by the dictates of society. What society dictates is how they live. This is how to behave now. This is how to dress now. Even if that dressing is a naked dressing, this is how to act now. This is how to get a job now. This is how to get to university now. This is what, you know. And they live by the dictates of society. Their lives are under the control of the crowd. But that is not with the man who has the fear of God. If the whole world decide to go one direction and God said this is the direction to go, you face the direction of God because you are in the fear of God. Is God speaking to anybody here today? The dictates. You don't even live under the dictates of your own flesh. I told some people some time ago, I said the reason why I'm ready to preach anything is I can preach against myself if need be. If the scripture, if my own life is contrary to the word, I won't spare me. So I won't spare nothing. You come to the point in your life where what you want is not what has the final say. What your passion and your flesh and all the tendencies you have want is not what has the final say. It is what God wants that has the final say. What God wants has the final say. What God wants has the final say. Not what a boyfriend wants or a girlfriend wants or a boss in the office wants or society wants, but what God wants. The only person you are careful not to offend is God. Not necessarily your husband or wife or friend or boss. The only person you are careful not to offend is God. It's living your life by the dictates and the commands and the demands of the Creator. What is the fear of God? Number two. Did you understand the first one I mentioned? Number two, it is existence with a conscience that is void of offense towards God and towards man. A conscience that is void of offense. A conscience that is void of offense towards God and towards man. Acts chapter 24 and in verse 16. He said, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience that is void of offense toward God and toward men. Existence
with a conscience that is awake.
A conscience that is aware. A conscience that is alive. A conscience that is awake. A conscience that is aware. A conscience that is alive. There are people who don't have a conscience that is alive. They are married to a wife who is dying under their nose and they are not aware. They have children that are under pressure and it doesn't bother them. When people shed tears, it makes them laugh. There are people like that. But the man or the woman who fears God is the one who does not have a conscience that is seared with a hot iron. There are people whose consciences are seared with a hot iron. That is not that kind of man. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2, it says about people, talking about people who speak lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Those are people, they have, the Bible says they have gone beyond feeling. They feel nothing. One man broke the heart of 12, 13 women. I will marry you, break, marry you, break, marry you, break. And then he's walking about and it's normal. No. I discussed with someone some time ago and I said, this relationship that you and this person had that broke and is the pain of it is so painful, man. I want you to pray until that girl gets married before you start thinking of marrying. Since you said it won't work between the two of you, you take it as a burden to make sure she gets married. Yes. That is to show that well, even if it is not working between the two of you, you still have a heart to feel her pain. And it worked out. It worked out that way. It worked out neatly. I've given many people such counsels. We should be sensitive to human feelings. The fear of God gives you childlike conscience. The tenderness of a child. The tenderness of a baby. When people hurt, you grieve, literally. The tenderness of a baby. The tenderness. When you have the fear of God, to say sorry is easy, both to God and to man. Oh Lord, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean this. Forgive me. That was the difference between David and Saul. David could easily apologize for what he did. Saul will explain it away. Existence with a conscience that is awake, a conscience that is alive, a conscience that is aware. Existence with such a conscience. That is the fear of God. What is the fear of God about? The fear of God. Identified some things today. And we may not be able to go into all of them now, but two basic things I'll be saying in this service. The fear of God is existence. It is existence with the eternal consequence. Existence with the consciousness of the eternal consequences of life's actions. Existence with the consciousness of the eternal consequences of life's actions. Ecclesiastes 12:14, we read it. It says, "For God shall bring into judgment every secret thing, whether it be good or evil." When you live with the fear of God, you are conscious of the fact that the actions you take in this world have consequences after this life. They have consequences. Some time ago, I was counseling a man on a particular situation. And after I gave him the counsel I felt was scriptural, he insisted on a particular course of action. And I told him one thing. I said, "What you want to do, you can go ahead and do it, provided you can defend it before God." That's when you meet God, you convince him that it was compulsory for you to sack your wife and take another one. And God will say, "Okay, I am convinced." That you needed to change your date of birth to get a job since your age was too much, and that is what they do in Nigeria. Then God say, "Okay, I'm convinced. It's true. You needed that job. Go ahead and do it if God can be convinced." So you exist with consequence consciousness, eternal consequence consciousness. It's not as if you are a perfect person. It's just that you are conscious. Am I communicating? You know, not that you are. That is. You don't make any mistake. You don't have any fault. You are just conscious that this that I have done or I'm doing, or that I plan to do, is wrong. You know, in the military, especially when people commit some very blatant offense, you don't come and be begging. When you are planning to commit the offense, you plan also to commit to serve the the plans go together. And the offense and the punishment, as you are planning the offense, you are also preparing for the punishment. That is, you made up your mind that this will be the outcome, and then you are ready to face it. Am I communicating? That is what happens when people live in the fear of the law. You are consequence conscious. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This lie I am telling now, I will answer for it one day. This fraud I am committing, I will answer for it one day. These monies I am stealing or diverting, I will answer for it before a judge that cannot be bribed, that cannot be compromised, that will not share the money. Very important. The fear of the Lord. You are living with eternity in view. You are in the world, but you are living with eternity in view. You are living with the consciousness that how you live on the earth affects where you will end in eternity. How you live on the earth affects where you will end in eternity. You live with that consciousness. Look at that road safety man. If not for God's intervention, he would have appeared in eternity on the spot. He would have appeared. I think somebody has testified about resurrection from the dead in the first service. A woman. That one was even going to go to hell if not for God's mercy. Do you remember the testimony?
It was
yes.
Kidney failure.
Yes.
And she was dead in National Hospital.
Kidney failure, and she was
dead in National Hospital.
Dead.
And she was already proceeding to eternity. And an angel of the Lord came and met her. And there were two. One was ready to allow her to continue. But the second one said, you did something in your office that was wrong. And she remembered exactly what she did wrong. And she was asked to go back. And she came up, she came around again in the world at National
Hospital. You did something in your, that's this morning, first service, the woman testified. You did something in your office that was wrong. The meaning is, if I allow you to go, it is hell you are going. Go back.
And the angels had to help her pass over
a ditch.
And there was a wide ditch that even on the way back that was difficult to cross.
Had to cross, yes.
That the angel had to assist her to pass over, to return back to life. Because if she followed how she was going, it was hell she was going. We have had three resurrection, two today, people. And then she said, she has now become a full member of the church. She's planted now and so on. So you live, even though we are on the earth, we live with eternity in view. Very important. You did something in your office. She remembered on the spot. It's okay, go back. You remember Mrs. Kate Agbo from Enugu, who testified at the last night vigil? We prayed for her in the year of 2002, right? And she was healed of a breast cancer. About 14 years later, then she got another situation with her pancreatic cyst. And then she went into surgery. And in the middle of that surgery, oxygen finished, everything happened. Next thing, she saw herself out of her body. The body was on the operation table, and there she was going. And know what she said? Let me go to this new Jerusalem and rest first. Let me just rest. It's enough. All this problem on the earth is enough. And then a mighty angel stood with a sword on his side and said, where do you think you are going? Say, I'm going to New Jerusalem. He said, yeah. Look at the person that you are holding in your heart still. Look at this other person you are holding tight in bitterness. Look at this other person. And she said, even at the operation table, she vowed that if she returned from the operation, she would deal with those people. When she returned. Look at this person you are holding in your heart. Look at this person you are holding. Look at this other person. If not for the prayer of your children, and for the prayer of the brethren, and for the prayer of your pastor, I would have allowed you to continue going where you think you are going. I'm sure you know where she is to go. If not for the prayer, I would have allowed you to keep going, and then you will know where, you will see where you will end. Go back. She has seen her there. Go back and tell everybody the danger of bitterness. And go and release the people. Is God speaking to somebody here? I don't know why God is speaking in this direction to us today. But it is existence with the consciousness of the consequence of life's action. Finally, second point, which is number 6 for today. The fear of God is existence with the consciousness of the terror of the Lord. 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 Paul the apostle said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Since we know that we are dealing with a God that is not chicken, we convince, we try to put people under pressure to change. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 11. Knowing the terror of the Lord. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. We persuade men. We persuade men. We persuade men. Change your life. Change your character. Change your behavior. Because you are dealing with a God, a terrible God. Knowing the terror of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 28 all the way to verse 29. He said, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? For our God is a consuming fire. It's not refrigerator water. He's consuming fire. He's not a God to be toyed with. He was the God who changed his face for Moses. Moses, his friend. When he said, Moses, speak to the rock, and Moses struck the rock. And he told Moses, for this that you have done, you will only see the promised land, you will not enter. Moses said, do you mean it? After 40 years, Moses said, oh God, I have suffered in this wilderness with these people. 40 solid years. Sir, please permit me to enter this land which you helped me to bring the people out of Egypt from. And he said, don't talk to me on this matter anymore. The chapter is closed. Gather yourself together and go to the top of the mountain Abarim. Take a look at that land. You will only see it. You can't enter because you failed to honor me when I ask you to honor me. In front of the children of Israel, I told you to speak to the rock. You smote the rock. You disobeyed me. You will not enter. Hi. Can my friend be angry with me like this? Don't talk to me on this matter anymore. No wonder. After many, many years, Bible said, Satan resisted the body of Moses. Believe that was Jude verse 9 or thereabout. Until the archangel Michael had to come with the righteousness of God and say, the Lord rebuke you. I'm sure maybe it was at the time of the mountain of transfiguration. When God wanted to present Moses and Elijah. And Satan came and said, where are you taking Moses to? He said, what are you talking about? He said, oh yes. If Moses was not qualified to enter promised land on earth, what makes him qualified to enter heaven? Said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Even the Lord that is yet Michael the archangel when contending with the devil, he as he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. That is, Satan was contending the body of Moses. Where do you think you are going? Because the consuming fire said, don't speak to me on this matter. See, we live in the consciousness of the terror of the Lord. Do you know what that means? It is the refusal to be over familiar with God. You refuse to be familiar with God. That's the fear of God. You are not familiar. You refuse. You refuse to take God for granted. That is what the popular gospel preaching tries to do these days. Anything you do, you go to heaven. Oh, no, no. Your sins are forgiven before you ever committed them. Grace, 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 grace. You refuse to take God for granted. You refuse to be over familiar with God. Oh yes, you know he's a very, very loving father. But you also know that he's a very, very tough father. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. He said, behold, both the severity, the goodness, and the severity of God. Ah, the kindness and the toughness of God. He has the two together. Goodness and severity. Loving but fierce. God of mercy, God of judgment. My children say they enjoy the loving, gentle, kind, humorous, exciting, excited, excitable daddy. But they don't want to see an offended daddy, because you two don't want to see it. Temper together. You two don't want to see. Don't want to see. Even my wife don't want to see.
There's a time she comes into my prayer room in the morning and the countenance is like sun. And she returns back in reverse to be continued later. God made us in his image. He is worse than that. So merciful. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Oh, my daughter. Oh, my son. I love you. Oh, I will do everything for you. Then you persistently traumatize him. He reaches out to you and you run away continuously until mercy expires. Especially when time is over. They say, Lord, have mercy. Say, no, mercy does not happen on this side of eternity. Mercy happens on the other side. The line is drawn. Earth, mercy. Eternity, judgment. Hallelujah. Time, mercy. Eternity, judgment. Earth, mercy. The other side, judgment. You will not miss it. I said you will not miss it. Anybody saying amen, say louder, amen. Very, very quickly, what are the factors that trigger the fear of God in a man's life? Number one is the knowledge or the revelation of the Lord. The more of God a person knows, the more of his fear he will walk in. In Genesis chapter 28 and in verse 16 and 17, Genesis, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. When he saw the ladder set up between earth and heaven, angels ascend, and God sitting on top. By the time that encounter happened to Jacob, nobody needed to tell him to fear God. When you see his almightiness and you experience your nothingness, fear for God is natural. Every time you see a man walking recklessly without the fear of God, it's because he doesn't have an idea of who the consuming fire is. The knowledge or the revelation of God is a trigger for the fear of God. Number two is the activity of the Holy Spirit. Wherever the Holy Ghost walks on people, the fear of God abounds. The reason is the Holy Spirit is also the spirit of the fear of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, he said, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And what is that spirit of the Lord? Is the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. The spirit of the Lord is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. When you walk with the spirit, you walk with the fear of the Lord. When you flow abundantly in the Holy Ghost, you flow abundantly in the fear of the Lord. When you listen to the direction of the Holy Ghost, you are connected to the fear of the Lord. Whatever places the Holy Ghost, whatever causes the Holy Ghost's activity to multiply in your life will multiply the fear of the Lord. It's not possible for somebody to claim to be speaking in tongues and that tongue does not translate into the fear of the Lord. It's not possible. It's not possible to be spiritual and not be reverential of God. It's not possible. Except it's another Holy Ghost. Except it's something else. But if the real, genuine Bible Holy Ghost is in you, your conscience will be as tender as that of a child. The fear of the Lord
by the activity of the Holy Spirit. And finally, for today, the judgments of God. How is the fear of God possible? By the judgments of God. When God executes judgment on the earth, people fear him. People are made to fear God when they see the kind of things they haven't seen before. In Exodus chapter 14 and in verse 30 and in verse 31. Exodus 14, 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord as they saw dead bodies on the Red Sea. They feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. We need to come to the point in our nation and in our generation where judgments will explode like fire, and people will be made to know that we serve a God that is real and alive. We serve a God that is real and alive. It says, when thy judgments are in the earth, Psalm 26 and in verse 9, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Isaiah 26 verse 9, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. That is, they will learn the fear of God when they see the judgments of God. And of course, number four, let me add a fourth number, is the wonders of God. The wonders of God. The wonders of God activate the fear of God. The wonderful testimonies we are hearing and the others that we are hearing, they just activate the fear of God. Yesterday, I was at the shopping mall here. I did evangelism somewhere and then what was coming. And all of a sudden, a lady sighted me and then just under power and was rolling on the ground. She was like a house help or the housemaid of another woman. The woman was pregnant with her husband. She said, please come and pray for her. Let her be free. I said, what happened? She said, she doesn't know. She just saw you and then screamed and began to roll on the floor. I'm sure that clip will be there shortly. And began to roll on the floor. And I say, are you Christians? No, they are of the other religion. They are of the other religion. That is, demons does not discriminate. Have you been to church before? No. All right, try and be in church this Sunday. That put an awe on everyone that was there. Wonders provoke fearful praises. It does fearful things in praises that lead to wonders, and the wonders lead to fear. God shall bless us, and the ends of the earth shall fear him. Psalm 67 verse 5 and 6. And the ends of the earth shall fear him. Somebody say a loud amen. Amen. The kind of testimony we heard about this woman just now. Neck healed. And God returned back the money to her bag. Fear him. Young man lined up by terrorists, began to fire them, and the gun refused to answer because his mother is a covenant daughter and that boy is on a scholarship from this church. The mother a widow, and we didn't invest money to train him so he can be wasted by killers.
Terrorist head came the other day and said,
what happened? What charm did you use? Our gun couldn't fire that day, and it has not been able to fire till now. He says, Jesus Christ. It's okay. I want to know that Jesus Christ. Fearful. Group of people kidnapped and taken into the bush. And this sister, she sat there singing. You are always there to help. You are always there to help me. Even when no one else was there. You are always there for me. Even when I can't feel you. Even when I cannot trace you. I still have faith in your word. That you are all. And she's singing. And now, she finishes singing and opens her eyes. And she's sitting down, but not in the camp of the terrorists anymore. She's right on the Ore Benin Express Road, beside military checkpoint. Having evaporated from the midst of killers, she crystallized and found herself in safety. How can this be explained? I was trying to ask one of our staff the other day. I said, we need that girl who testified. We need her. We need to interview her and get the detail. And I said, no, it's my cousin. The person who testified is my cousin. So it's not a far-fetched testimony. It's my cousin. It's my cousin. It's his cousin. His cousin, my secretary's cousin. It's my cousin. Stand up on your feet.